Saludos nuestra gente and welcome to our 19th episode of The Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. I'm your host, Ariana Genis, along with my co-host,
Maria Isa.
And we are two proud Minnesotanas, a Chicana and a Boricua, proud of where we come from and where we are now. We are here to create dialogue focused on Latina opinions regarding current events, health, politics, race, edutainment,
and a music playlist asazonado with Latino contemporary, Latino alternative, soul, hip-hop, reggae, reggaeton, cumbia, R&B, salsa, y ritmos afro-latinos, y más. What's good, Latina Theory, episode 19.
19, estamos aquí. Bienvenidos, mi gente.
Recording at EMS Electric Machete Studios. Shout out to everybody that's tuning in on Audio Boom. Much love. We've got a lot of things going on episode 19.
Yes, we do.
And we also have a very special guest who's a part of our show. I'm super excited. She goes by the name Liani Rey, and she's a jack of all trades.
Hey.
She has a love for art, poetry, music, production, and all things creative, which has led her to be a successful, multi-talented Latina here in the cities. She was born in Washington Heights of Puerto Rican and Dominican descent, and spent all of her childhood and early teen years living between Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic. She finished high school in Minneapolis at Patrick Henry, Northside, and received her BA in communications from U of M, where she was one of the founders of Voices Merging, the spoken word group. For all of you who didn't know, now you know. Give a warm welcome to Eliana Reyes, a.k.a. Liani Rey.
Hey. ¿Cómo está, mi gente?
Thanks for coming,
girl. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. We're so excited to have you.
I'm excited to be here. This is awesome.
Man, you do so much around the Twin Cities. It's cool to be seeing your face and your beautifulness and your smile. And
well, thank you.
Around, I've been able to be around that. You've been developing a lot of clientele creatively and artistically, offering services. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so, you know, for a long time in the city, I actually have always been really involved in either producing shows, whether it was a dance showcase, a fashion show, helping a lot of my friends that were artists kind of come up with the concepts of what the show would be like or what their album would be like. And so I just got to a point where I was like, you know, the day job wasn't fulfilling me enough. It wasn't fulfilling me at all. Mm. So I was like, I got to start something on my own to not only, you know, empower myself, but also to have something to help my fellow artists and the community and to help kind of bridge those gaps between performance and art and bringing in, like, you know, the visual aesthetics of experience through creative direction. So I started Liani Rey. It was the first time I gave it an official name. It was last year in 2016. So I started it as a collective, kind of an umbrella where I could use all of the talents that, you know, I've been God-given. So with Liani Rey, I provide creative direction services, and it's exactly what it sounds like. So if you're an artist and you know, you have an idea, you have an unrealized idea, I'm kind of that person that comes in and brings it to fruition through creative strategy and trying to bridge, you know, visual aesthetics and arts and community and tying that in with the artist's music. And one of my, like, favorite things and one of the things that are dear to my heart is live performances. Like, I know what I have felt going to shows and what it feels like to have, like, you know, the combination of the lights and the props on stage and the deliverance and the sound and what that does and how I've never been able to shake that feeling. And so part of what I also want to do is provide that healing, right? To provide that healing for the goers to these events to feel that and to walk away feeling like, man, I just had a magical experience, you know? And so
that's what's up. That's awesome. I've known you for over a decade, right? Beyond, I think, like 15 years, close to 15 years.
Yep.
It's been great to see not only the artist, but also the development that you've taken along working with artists in the Twin Cities. Shout out to the artists that you do work. You've worked with Lady Midnight. You're working with Lady Midnight. I see what Liani Ray has done to do exactly what you just explained. You know, let's take an idea, let's take an image, let's make it what you want it to be. You work with Tech
For years.
That last showcase that he did with his last project really stepped it up for his role in the hip hop scene.
Yeah.
Soul Tools Entertainment, shout out to Britt. And Crown Lens Media Group with Dr. Joy Lewis, Property. I mean, a list of amazing artists here locally that are reaching national exposure. Tell me a little bit more as far as what those services. You know, you said creative direction, light stage, but you also do professional makeup as well.
I do. So it was kind of cool about starting your own brand or your own company is that you could do whatever you want with
right?
it. So part of my challenge in life has been like, okay, I do all of these things. You want me to write, paint, sing, rap, design clothes, style, do makeup, whatever it is, I can do it. But I never saw something or found something that allowed me to do all of that. Mm. So I have a long history of working as a professional makeup artist. I managed a couple of MAC stores. I worked for Lancome. I've been, you know, makeup artist for Glamorama, which is one of Macy's like huge fashion shows. And so because I'm in this world of creating this experience, a lot of times styling and imagery and branding comes with that. And so a lot of what I do specifically right now with Lady Midnight is, you know, when we're like, okay, she has a show coming up, what does it look like? What is her presence? Mm-hmm. What's the energy that we want for that show? And we translate that through her style, so how she's dressed, her hair, and her makeup. And so it's fun for me because I feel like at this point, a lot of people can just do beauty makeup because you can go to YouTube and, you know, and so I'm not interested in clients that just want, like, a smoky eye. I want you to let me, like, draw a beach on your face.
Right, or
like
a canvas.
You know, and yeah, it's, like yeah, art. Like, I really want that when you look at someone that I have touched, that it is literally a physical piece of art. So it's dope to be able to incorporate that in what I do.
Amazing. Well, we're going to get back on LT a little bit more with, well, not a little bit more. She's a part of the whole show. You know how we do it, Latina Theory. You come in, hang out, have some cafecito with us. You're sticking around till el final. With that, we're going to go into our first track on our playlist today. Throwback, but goodie. Specifically, this I dedicate this to everyone who was in the 90s rolling down from El Barrio to Washington Heights, the Bronx, and making their waves to El Caribe with La India's I Just Want to Hang Around You off the Cinque Soy, 1994.
Yeah.
It was lit.
Good
here
times.
We go. La India, I Just Want to Hang Around You.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
I just want to hang around you.
And now we're gonna go into a little bit more of our typical program here, and we're gonna be inviting our wonderful guest Eliana to join us in conversation. So please go ahead and jump in. So this area is our hashtag Resistir.
Resistir.
This is where we talk about what is happening in the world right now.
Resistir. Mano.
How do we resist it? How do we take care of ourselves? Whatever that may be. So actually, Eliana was just telling us that she's a big space fan.
Yes. Yeah.
So can you let us know what the Resistir news is?
Like, specifically 8 hours ago.
I'm such a geek, but but 8 hours ago, NASA found like a whole another 7.
For real, they're out there,
like outside of our, it's a complete other solar system, and it has 7 planets, and it apparently is not that far in light years, and it has enough to sustain alien life,
like
three planets.
There's 7, like directly off NASA's post 8 hours ago. They literally reveal that it's the first known system of 7 Earth-sized planets. 7 Earth-sized. So the same globe we up in right now, around una estrella.
And 3 of those planets are firmly located in the habitable zone.
Yep.
So that means that they have liquid water.
And water.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They probably got cleaner water than we do here.
Right.
But they do have cleaner water.
They have cleaner air, too.
So that is our Resistir. Why? Mm-hmm. What's good news about that?
I mean, it's an option. If we got to go, we got to go. We know we can go. I mean, let's just put our funds together, build our spaceship, and get out and go.
There's a Latino connection here, too, ladies. Because apparently the telescope that noticed it.
Yeah.
The
Spitzer?
The Spitzer, but they're based out in Chile.
Hey.
So the Chilenos, yeah, it was the exoplanet system is called TRAPPIST-1,
mm-hmm.
named for the transiting planets and a small telescope, the TRAPPIST,
mm-hmm.
which is in Chile.
Oh,
so,
which is so
shout
cool.
out to all the Chilenos out there. Yo, figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out because
we want a spaceship.
We need. I have a feeling like they're corrupting everything. They're drilling all of it, all of our land.
Yeah.
They're kicking us out of where we belong.
You know what? Chile and Puerto Rico should come together and
the Arecibo,
the big it's
the biggest satellite
it's
in the world.
It's the biggest satellite in the world,
and
it's in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It's an
And we have like the most sightings of UFO. Maybe all the Chilenos are sending the telepathic powers from their one star, and they're all periando in Puerto Rico.
So we need to, yes, we need to. And when we have the spaceship, please build in reggaeton and salsa and music in it. And
it's lit.
I want it to be like it has to have like tostones and arroz and all that stuff in the spaceship. That's why I'm asking for Chile. Thank you.
I don't think you're asking for too much. Okay. On another note, on Resistir.
Yes.
The Grammys happened, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some whack results in there, and there was also some incredible performances and some good results.
Straight up.
So A Tribe Called Quest, in collaboration with a ton of other artists, had an incredible performance where they were straight up addressed the pendejo president we have, called
mm-hmm.
him out, fists up in the air,
mm-hmm.
stood with, like, Muslims, like, embraced all these different identities. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It was very powerful.
It was so, and so in your face.
Yeah.
So, like, not subtle. It was, like, right here, right now.
Straight up.
I mean, what did y'all think about it when you saw it?
I got chills.
Hmm.
I got chills. And especially when everybody started walking in from the back of the room, because at first it was, like, Buster was on there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were kind of doing their thing, and then all of a sudden, like, it was just getting flooded with
yes.
people. Of all different backgrounds
yes.
walking to the stage, and then they just all stood there.
It's just crazy.
I teared
man.
Up, y'all.
Yeah,
I
it was beautiful.
Another
was beautiful.
Thing is, like, how, you know, Five Dog passed away last March
nice.
from complications to his diabetes,
mm-hmm.
and, like, I grew up, like, loving Five Dog. When I got diagnosed, it was kind of like, man, this dude's struggling, you know, I wish he had more education at an earlier time
yeah, right.
to benefit his life expectancy, and, like, the fact that they play his verse when they perform. Like, they don't... They make a notion
yeah.
and they show his
they
image.
Show him, yeah.
Like, even back when they were on Jimmy Fallon in November.
Yes,
it was,
they did that too.
The first Saturday after, you know, El Pendejo got
yeah.
put into office. So it was like, they're not stopping. Like,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't just for that show. It's obviously, I feel like, you know, we got it from here. Thank you for your service is... one of the best hip hop albums that's came out
yeah.
in the last
mm-hmm.
decade.
Yeah.
I ain't just saying in the year, but it was my soundtrack in Cuba because
mm-hmm.
it just dropped and,
mm-hmm.
and it's what we had.
It.
So, and we were just seeing so much from it. It just speaks the truth. It's obviously a voice for our generation.
Yes, absolutely.
And shout out. I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
I think it's important for artists, you know, of any caliber, you know, you have this platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what better platform to do something with it than, you know, than at the Grammys? And, you know, I was surprised even at Katy Perry's performance
mm-hmm.
because while she didn't have a bunch of, I mean, her imagery was still kind of like, you know, and I was looking at her and I'm like, wow, like she did that. And other artists that are part of the struggle
mm-hmm.
don't. So I you know, I was sitting back at home wondering, like, what, why, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying, and whatnot. And I think there's a lot that plays into that, but I just love to see when artists, like, take a stand. And I feel like historically, all these movements, all the cultural shift and the changes that have happened using music as the main avenue
Thank
of
you.
Bringing us together.
Yes.
So I think it's important to use those
platforms. Definitely. They also had they had Anderson .Paak playing drums.
Yes.
Oh my
singing.
God.
And I love him.
I love
so
her.
Much.
Lady Midnight, if she's tuning in, me and her had like this amazing moment at the last sound set because we was backstage
yes.
after the Ninth House performance, and we're just chilling. She was injured that day. On crutches,
mm-hmm.
but still kicked
mm-hmm.
ass and performed, and we kind of took a little break to just vibe down. And as soon as we got done from watching Anderson .Paak show, just was like, let's just chill out. We didn't recognize that, like, his tent area, or his green, whatever, his truck mm-hmm. was right in front. And all of a sudden, he walks through and is just, like, chilling and vibing with us. And everybody's, so like, jealous. Comes back and we're like, you know, here we are just in muddy shoes and yeah. crutches and wheelchairs, you know, like, basic tamo coja.
Yeah.
hanging out with Anderson .Paak and the band and recognizing, like, these people are really amazing, down-to-earth and creative artists that really are just good, buena gente. And just to see, like, that connection between Tribe and now the future. Because forget the future, what's now? You right. know, it's not like, oh, he's yeah. the next or this. No,
right.
he's now.
Right.
It's just, you felt that empowerment. Like mm-hmm. like you said, it's great to see those who use that platform. Mm-hmm. And overall, well, let's stop talking. Let's get into Anderson .Paak. This is a request yes. by Liana Reyes.
Because I love him and he's yeah. so talented. And I'm so jealous that I didn't get to see him. Because I literally got on a plane to Puerto Rico that very same day. And I've been onto him from his very first mixtape before he even released Venice Beach.
Wow.
And I was like, yo, this guy's gonna blow up. And I was like, I have to see him live, like in a small, intimate setting yes. before he blows up. And now I'm like, coño, he blew up. and there goes my chances of seeing him in like a small, like intimate, you know, setting. So big up to Anderson .Paak, man. I just think he's talented in so many ways.
He blew up with that, Anderson .Paak with Heart Don't Stand a Chance.
Be careful, the idle mind is a dangerous place to be left in, but keep your eyes on me. Yeah, your heart don't stand a chance. It feels like it's been far too long. Your knees can't hold your legs, your feet just want to pace. The eyes keep me all in a trance. Let me ask you, would you leave it all in the back of your head? In the palm of my hand. Ain't nobody holding you back. Don't it feel like it's been far too long, girl? Your heart don't stand a chance. Your knees just wanna break. Your eyes keep me all in the trance. And let me ask you, I know the approach is so far from what you used to. Would you know it? Hey, do I hold the candle to the last one over your moon? Baby, of course I do. Hey, I'm not closing my tab. Don't it feel like it's been far too long, girl? Huh. Your heart don't stand a chance. Tip of the cloud.
Is it real as a stone in your crown? See, ain't nobody towing my jack. Don't it feel like it's been far too long, girl? Your heart don't stand a chance. I'm waiting for the white flag. You're talking with the blunt in your hand. Hey, won't you pass that? I know in the morning the sunlight cover your wounds. But I'm hoping that I look the same as the way you always knew. Baby, of course I flew, but I'm not over what we had. Don't it feel like it's been far too long, girl? Your heart don't stand a chance.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
What's up? We are back once again. That was Anderson Pop with Heart Don't Stand a Chance. We are now to our Guerreras de la Semana segment, our Guerreras of the Week. I want to actually go in depth on this Guerrera before I go into my next question with Eliana, because I think you definitely like a part. You're going to crack up. So my Guerrera of the Week is Robin Robinson. Shout out to Robin Robinson. We grew up in the Twin Cities watching Robin Robinson on the news.
Yes, ma'am.
We looked up to that, seeing a woman of color, you know, Southside Chicago, and giving us our news and coming to our communities. I mean, very first, you know, when it comes to news, it's like, who do you trust?
Right.
And she would make sure and made it a pivotal point to represent our communities and make sure that our stories are being told during those that generation. Yeah. And so, mad respect. She's an entrepreneur on her own end. She has a jewelry company, but also she is the director of the arts, a director at MSP.
Yep,
at the airport, the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Yeah. So all that arts that you go around, that you check out at the airport when you're waiting for your flight, or maybe you're running past to catch your flight and you're like, oh my God, that's dope.
Yep.
What is this? She's bringing that in, and it's reflecting from the Black community, the Latino community, the Hmong community. Beautiful. Her first exhibit, I think, was based on the U.S.-Cuban Arts Project. And right now there is a Hmong arts within photography and cultural representation of the history here in the Twin Cities.
Oh, that's dope.
But last week, she was a part, she spoke at the Erotic Poetry Slam.
That's what you were extra excited to talk
about. Yes. Because I hosted it. Shout out to Palabrisas. It was their sixth annual.
They were fantastic.
In Casa Southside.
It was awesome. Be there.
Girl, well, you know, I hope next year they can film it, because it deserves to be, like, literally broadcasted live. She went up and did a piece, and she was kind of like, okay, I've never done this before, but she based it off. It was based off Pornhub.
Oh, my God.
So everyone was sitting there. I know Robin. She's a sisterhood. She's very supportive of artists, specifically POC's artwork, and internationally, like we said. But for her to come out and spit a rhyme, well, not a rhyme, but a piece on Pornhub, it was hilarious because her stats were so on point.
I was gonna say, Pornhub re-releasing like regular, like interesting studies about who watches what porn across the country.
She had all the statistics on it, but like, in a poetic way, where it's like, this is amazing. Robin Robinson. She's so cool already, and she just made herself at the top. Where it's like, shout out to Queen Robin Robinson,
our local guerrera,
our guerrera here of the week. And we also have another guerrera, mm-hmm. Samana, speaking about, you know, us being geeks and loving space. Ellen Ochoa. Ariana, you want to give us a little bit of information on our guerrera, Ellen Ochoa?
Of course. Ellen Ochoa is the first Latina astronaut. She was 34 years old when she served in her space mission aboard the shuttle Discovery in 1993. She was highlighted in the Latino USA podcast.
That's awesome.
And has been highlighted several times for like Latino History Month and so forth. Dr. Ochoa went on to 3 more missions and even played her flute in space. Because that's just how much of a chingona she is.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, why don't we know these things, right? Like,
straight up.
It's amazing.
It's so cool. And she also said, like, in this interview with Latino USA, you know, she said she really didn't think about herself as the first Latina astronaut until she started receiving thousands of letters from excited Latinos all across the country. And, like, it was in that moment that she realized, like, that she was representing. She was representing. And that meant something,
right.
You know? So shout out to Ellen Ochoa for being a doctor, for being a scientist, for going to space.
For making it happen.
And for making it happen.
Following her sueño, you know what I'm saying? It's awesome to see, like you said, why don't we know about all these things? Like, it's up to us, like, to teach the shorties and to make sure that, you know, her face is shown, not just during Hispanic, her panic.
Yep.
I always say Hispanic, her panic, Heritage Month, but every day.
Yep.
That
yep.
when you walk up in a classroom, you see our gente, their faces on the wall. And identify, you know, mijita or mijo, if you want to be an astronaut, well, guess what? Check this
Make
person
it happen.
Out. Make it happen.
One more thing that I want to give just to, like, wrap up about her is that in 2013, Dr. Ochoa became the first Latina and second female director, so second woman director of NASA's Johnson Space Center. Mm-hmm. So not only an astronaut, but also a director.
Mírala. Eso es. Pa' que tú lo sepas.
All right. And that's our Guerreras a la Semana.
We are celebrating, you know, we have these months, right, that they put us in, and we're in February, and everyone is engaged in celebrating Black History Month, and we celebrate Black history every day. We celebrate Latino history every day.
Yes. Yes.
And we also celebrate our Afro-Latinidad every day.
Yes.
Eliana, being that you're Boricua, Dominicana, you have indigenous Taino roots and as well as African roots, can you explain to us and to our listeners, how do you identify yourself as a beautiful, strong Afro-Latina woman?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really have to think about that until I moved to Minnesota. And it was really interesting to me because in Puerto Rico, I was just Puerto Rican. When I would go visit my father in Santo Domingo, era, you know, la negrita de casa dominicana. And when I moved here, people kept asking me, like, what are you, right? Because I had, like, this long, like, really tight curls. My skin was, like, 10 times darker than what it is now because I used to walk to school in Puerto Rico every day. And I had a thicker, kind of like Jenny from the Block accent. Mm-hmm. My English was good, but it was like, it was super like Washington.
Oh my God, like, where's your accent from?
Like, where are you from? What are you?
How do you speak like that?
Right.
You speak Spanish?
Yeah.
Wait, why? We clowning.
I know. So it was interesting because then I had to go back to everything that I had learned through my education in Puerto Rico. I went through, you know, kindergarten through 9th grade, pretty much 10th grade in Puerto Rico. And so I didn't learn about the American presidents and all that. I learned about the Taínos, the Africans, you know, all what happened, Cristóbal Colón, what happened on the island, you know. So I understood what I'm a product of. So I had to, like, break it down and start explaining it to people. And I think once I started explaining it to people, I was like, you know, what do I call myself? Because to say, like, I'm Puerto Rican and Dominican, born in New York, it's a lot, right? And I had to kind of, with myself, be like, you know what? I have African ancestry. I feel it in my bones every time I hear drums. I have the Taino ancestry. I feel it every time I'm standing in front of a body of water. And I feel like this, you know, the spirit of the water. And, you know, I identify with hip-hop culture. I'm a total, like, you know, like, New Yorker in, like, in my sassiness and my attitude.
Definitely.
And so that's where the Afro-Latina kind of name came about. Because I couldn't identify myself was just being Latina, because then I wasn't acknowledging, you know, the African ancestry and the indigenous Taino ancestry that was in mine. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I tell people I'm an Afro-Taina Latina, you know, just to mess with them even more, get them more confused, you know. But I mean, until they're, you know, we have these, like you said, there's these blanket months that they put us under. There's also these blanket, I think,
boxes
and boxes.
Too. Like, métete ahí o métete ahí
exacto,
and stay there.
Can you say a little bit more about those, like, ethnic boxes that you're talking about?
Yeah,
I mean, I can totally identify, but I just want to talk about it
personally.
I don't like them. I understand, you know, for consensus and tracking or whatever, but, you know, the fact that you're asking me to, you know, the fact that you don't give me what actually identifies me, and then you put me down as white. Like, you got to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Latinos, they put us down as white.
Yeah. Non-white Hispanics.
But we literally go down as white. They put us down as white because we're not, supposedly because we're not black, right? So, I mean, it pisses me off. So I always mark other and I write in, like, Afro-Taina, you know? And, like, whatever they choose to do with that in their offices to justify their numbers, to get their grants, that's their business. But as far as me and identifying myself in this world, I always choose other and I put what I identify as. You know, and I'm hoping that people do that enough so that they start to see, like, we need to expand these blanket boxes that we're telling people to, you know, denominate themselves in.
Straight up. Going into that identity, like, in your spaces, because I know specifically this isn't just something that happens here in Minnesota. Obviously, it happens all over, but it's still fresh and new for these discussions and conversations, I feel, to take place here in Minnesota, even within our own Latino community.
Are you talking about, like, conversations around identity?
Identity and race in our own communities, you know, like... You can be a Latino who's black and you don't want to recognize your black identity or say it. So, yo no soy negro. And it's like, yeah, you are. You know, you're Celia Cruz. You look like Celia Cruz, mamita. Yeah. Or you're darker than Celia Cruz. And for you to speak up, that's like an internalized racial identity crisis that we do face, whether you're Mexican, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Colombian, I mean, in general, you know, and that's why we want to bring this dialogue and conversation, because it's not just an issue here in the United States, and it's not just an issue of our identity, our black identity being, you know, executed out of history.
Right.
You know, every time I'm in Puerto Rico, and if you're in El Morro, and they have these, you know, the colonized tours with the guys that look like Captain Morgan walking around with those swords. And it's like, you're talking about how you colonized, but you're not talking about who built these.
Right.
These forts, these Spanish forts were built by slaves.
Absolutely.
And by the indigenous people that you were trying to wipe out or that blended with the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're not talking about that.
Right.
And that's who we are.
Right.
So it's important for, like, if we're at a forum and we have these issues where you hear Native Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, it's like, that's a part of Latinos.
Absolutely.
We're all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to recognize how to contribute.
Absolutely.
To our history.
Yep.
By not forgetting it. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you for saying, like, that's me.
Yeah.
And I think the thing to add too is, like, because of everything you just highlighted, Maria, it's like, Latinos of, like, I think about growing up and having people tell me, like, oh, you're almost good, but you're nariz, like, it looks more indigenous, but, like, if you fix that, you'll be good.
Yes.
What was that?
Yeah.
What is that, right? Like, that is obviously, like, like, I'm proud of my indigenous ancestry, and that's actually a big chunk of my identity, and I am mixed with Spanish, and that's an ongoing conversation about the complexities of that.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, those kind of conversations require more nuanced conversations around race.
Right.
Because
right?
These boxes,
la negra de la familia.
It's deeply instilled. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because nowadays, you know, we have this common topic amongst, you know, black women about the hair. Well, you know, I have really tight curls. My curls, and a mí me decían que yo tenía el pelo malo. Like, you tenía el pelo malo. So legit, me llevaban al salón. And me daban un perm, like, they would me alisaban el pelo, like, they would perm my hair straight. mm-hmm. because I looked prettier with my hair straight, mm-hmm. and because I brought more pride. You know, like the probability of
we can
like,
put a bow in it.
I was told by my actual uncles, by like mi tío campesino and everybody that no, a ti un hombre no te va a querer con ese pelo malo. Mm. You have to you have to straighten your hair for a man to want you. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's me at like 7, 8, 9 years old,
and that's. Sticks with you.
It yep. sticks with you. You know what I'm saying? And so, and then in my adult life, yep. being in a corporate career where when I straighten my hair, having my boss say, you know, you look really professional like that. You should do your hair like that more often. Oh, my God. Oh why? Because my big fro right? isn't like mm-hmm. clean enough for you. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I've had to, you know, I talked to a lot of kids too, and I had to tell them like, yo, like your hair is not kinky. It's not just because it's textured. Doesn't mean that you're less pretty or that you're less professional. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the eyelashes on your eyes, and so I would really like to see us move away from all of those things that make us feel insecure about who we are.
Yes, absolutely.
Straight up conversations with Latina Theory.
Thank you so much, Eliana.
We appreciate
it. Love
that
you guys. I love to talk about these things.
That's what we do. And if you have any remarks, comments, questions, you want us to know a little bit more of things that we don't know, we're open here to figure that out. So those tuning in, follow us on Twitter at Latina Theory. Ask us those questions. Hit us up on Facebook or email us. You want to talk more about this topic? Email us at latinatheory@gmail.com. We're going to move in, and speaking of someone who is proud and recognized, I mean, she just won a Grammy. Okay. Her sister, you know, straight up is pregnant with twins. We all know that, seen it. But we want to shout out to the sister who is celebrating every accomplishment that she deserves as a music producer for one of my favorite shows on HBO. Mm-hmm. Have y'all seen it?
Insecure?
Absolutely,
yes.
I mean, shout out to Solange because she's the musical producer, and we want to celebrate Solange just as much as everyone celebrates Beyonce.
Yes.
You know, Ma Fede Fung Oshun. Here's Solange with Don't Wish Me Well. Don't have love for me. Que me cura, que me cura, que me cura. We're on our Dr. Curandera, our health curandera remedies, and we've invited our guest, who's back in here with us, Eliana, hey. A.K.A. Liani Rey.
Mm-hmm.
Eliana, hit us up with, I mean, this is a segment where we discuss topics, obviously, if you heard our show,
mm-hmm.
Of healing, spiritual mind, bodies, self-care,
sex,
everything that's healthy.
Yeah.
Sex. straight up. I mean, the thing is, we take it far,
right.
as far as like healthy within relationships, healthy
right.
for herself being a woman and caring
right.
for ourselves and not being afraid to showcase that. We're not sheltering
right.
what that health. So, you know,
no.
dealing with everything that we have around our world,
yes.
Our everyday cycles,
mm-hmm.
Et cetera, et cetera. Can I ask you a question? What do you do
mm-hmm.
To balance yourself when things become, you know, mentally challenging?
Yeah. Mentally challenging. You know, there's a couple things that I do. One of them is I write. And writing for me since I was very young has been one of the greatest gifts I have been given. And
mm-hmm.
being able to actually capture what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking and laying it down in my confidant that is paper
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not worrying about it, you know, coming back to haunt me
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. So, you know, writing is one of the number one things I do. Along with that, you know, I'm very connected to nature and water. And so any opportunity
mm-hmm.
that I can be in front of a body of water and just reflect, I take that. If I have the money and the time, I literally pick up and go back home to Puerto Rico and I just go and I sit in front of the beach
mm-hmm.
and I have conversations with the water and with the moon and with the sun. And I just ask for healing and I ask for peace.
Mm.
You know, music is, I can't do any of that without music being involved. So whether I'm writing, whether I'm in front of the beach, whether I'm reflecting, music is always involved
mm.
in that. And so I think, you know, music is my saving grace like that. That's what has kept me afloat.
Definitely.
And also being able to release whatever stress I have through music. So, you know, it's all kind of tenfold. So whether it's what I'm writing then turns into a song, you know, or what I'm writing turns into a spoken word piece.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I cook up like a really cool idea based on the music I was listening to and maybe some topics or themes that I found in my writing. And that becomes an idea for a show. So that all helps me kind of get to a better place.
How about, you know, we get in all, we want to share what you do,
mm-hmm.
To juggle. You do a lot of different things. I know
I
we all of us, you know, hermanas here know what it is to be juggling
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
much,
mm-hmm.
Physically, like what do you do to feel healthy?
Physically, I love boxing.
Yeah.
Boxing. I have a pair of gloves in my trunk.
Yes.
I have a pair of gloves at work. I have a pair of gloves at home. You know, I discovered
that's
boxing.
So
yeah, I know, right? And you know, it's crazy. I have a crazy obsession with like the Rocky saga. It's
I know
insane.
You do.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. So does my dad.
Yeah. I mean, nobody understands it.
No, no, I agree.
But literally, it's like.
Well, the orchestration and like so much of the instrumentation that's involved.
So did
the
you
music?
Love Creed?
Classic.
Yes.
You know?
I love Creed.
I
love
like
everything.
I love. I Let me tell you, I love Michael B.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Jordan.
Yes. Michael
not?
B. Jordan can have it all, number one. But you know what? Sylvester Stallone in my book can also have it all.
Oh my God.
Arrugadito Viejo Surgery and
oh,
all.
Oh
like,
gosh.
I
like
love
she went there. She went there.
My love for Sly is insane. Yo. Like I'm that crazy person on his Instagram. Like I love you every day because him and The Rock. I don't know what it is about them. Like
I like Dwayne Johnson.
I think it's their character.
He's hot.
You know, and
even in Disney movies, he's
yeah.
hot.
Yeah, oh, a lot of people don't know. You know, Sylvester Stallone. He wrote the very first Rocky.
Animation.
No budget,
he's
no money. He all the outfits he wore were from his closet. It was
oh,
a total like
that.
He did not. It was not. He did not think it was.
Dang,
girl,
you really went in the scope.
Yeah,
going off the boxing because I'm a
yes.
big boxing fan. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Um, There's fights. Danny Garcia is fighting, and he's Boricua. But also this Cinco de Mayo, because you know there's always like the main Cinco de Mayo. They reclaim it in their own boxing way, girl.
Right.
But it's going to be like the Mexican fight of like the decade. Between Chavez and Canelo. Who do you have?
Go ahead.
I mean, you know what I'm saying. You ain't offending nobody.
I don't watch boxing.
I don't know. It's hard.
I like Canelo.
I mean, you know, that's why Chavez,
Chavez is like, he's got his father's rank and his name, and his dad did so much, and he's a great boxer, and he's a great boxer too, but
yeah.
I just kind of think, I don't know, we'll see.
Canelo, I don't know, I think he has like a different look of hunger in his eyes, so.
Ooh, definitely.
I'm thinking he's going to go in a little more for the kill.
Yes, so you box. Where do you box at here locally?
So, I've been training for like 3 years at Bodies by Burgoon.
Okay.
And so, it's a personal training studio.
Eliana, she's so fit that she looks like she will throw. I'm in the club, like, try it.
Fit is,
fit is comfortable and being beautiful in your skin. And you definitely glow with that.
I agree with that completely.
Yep. Thank you. Yep. I do, you know, boxing for me is a lot more. Yeah. You know, boxing for me is not only a healing thing, it's being able, I think everyone should experience your body going through that amount of stress where you can't breathe and you just have to get it together to get through. I mean, when you're hitting the bags, the heavy bags, and doing these things, you cannot stop. You will not stop until the round is over, and you just keep punching. Definitely. And sometimes you don't feel your shoulders, and you don't feel your elbows, and your arms hurt, and your knees are about to buckle because you're literally sustaining every... I mean, boxing is all about legs.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I really appreciate putting my body through that level of stress, because then what it does is when I'm overwhelmed with non-tangible things, right? With life, with Trump, with all the shit that's going on. It literally is just like, okay, this is no different than when I'm running out of breath and I feel like I'm seeing floaters and my legs are about to give out, but I know I'm going to keep going and I'm going to process through, you know, the stress that my body's feeling. So it puts me in a good place to kind of triage all the things that are coming my way.
Beautiful. Well, you heard it. That's Eliana Reyes, a.k.a. Liani Rey. Where can more people learn about your work?
Yeah, so, you know, my website is still being constructed, but it's there. It's LianiRey.com. And then my Facebook page is Liani Rey Creative.
Twitter?
You can find me. Twitter is Liani Rey, and Instagram is Liani Rey.
Right on. And we'll be sure to share that on Latina Theory's social media sites as well. We want to thank you for being a part of our episode 19 and for providing, you know, some of your favorite songs right now on the playlist. We'll definitely make an exit with her last song. But before we go into that, we want to wrap up and highlight some events happening, mi gente. What events you have coming up, just so that we can make sure we get that plugged in before you're going to Thailand.
I'm going to Thailand.
Hey,
there's gonna be a Puerto Riqueña in Krabi and Phuket.
Girl, bring all the coconuts.
If I go missing, I'm registered with the Department of State. Come find me. You know,
me voy.
Pero me voy para Tailandia.
Méteme en la maleta.
Sí,
méteme
pero,
ahí.
You know, right now, I have a couple big shows coming up with Lady Midnight that I'll be doing some creative direction with her for. So one of them is March 10th with Atmosphere.
Yes.
So that's going to be at
in
Palace.
In St. Paul, yep.
And then, of course, you know, supporting you and supporting Lady Midnight and all the other fabulous ladies at the Clituation on March 25th. But also we have the Feels coming up. This is through Soul Tools Radio. That happens at Ice House every month. It's an event for healing through music and the arts and community.
Those are on Thursdays.
Yeah,
right?
And that's Thursdays. This one's going to be on a Wednesday just because of the availability. But that's going to be March 29th at Ice House. So you can catch us there.
Dope. Ariana, you have some highlights that you wanted to...
Yes.
Events that you wanted to highlight.
So one big highlight is this upcoming Monday. If you're... you want to let off some steam, you want to be out there, you want to connect with people, you want to hit the streets, On Monday, there's going to be a big march. It's called Lead the Resistance Minneapolis Against Trump. It's going to be starting at 5 p.m., and people are going to be meeting at PV Plaza. Neighborhoods Organizing for Change and 15 Now are the ones leading it. So be there, mi gente. I'm going to be there taking pictures, supporting, and just we got to let folks know that we're not going down without a fight, that we're here.
That's
we're fighting. We're creating. We're doing everything that we need to do to let you know that you can fuck off. Presidente pendejo.
It's real. It's real. It's real. There's also... I mean, it is what it is. We don't hide nothing here, okay? There's no hiding unless... the ICE is looking for you. I'm hiding you, okay? I will not trust me.
We will give you shelter.
Latina Theory will give you shelter and demand you to be secured. There is a also an event happening on March 4th celebrating Dilla Day, right, Ariana?
Yes.
And this, as a matter of fact, has been happening annually here in the Twin Cities, celebrating the life of the legendary producer Jay Dilla. But there's it's now the Twin Cities Dilla Day Beat Batch Wars, and it's going to be featuring EDOG, Prince Poe of Organized Confusion, Son in Law, B. Croc. Shout out to the sister. You'll see her at Clituation as well. The man himself who's organizing it, DJ Francisco, DJ Cypreme, Butterbeat Records is hosted by Niles. It will be happening at the 7th Street entry, like I said, I believe March 4th.
March 4th.
Mm-hmm. And yep, so you can find more information about that at firstavenue.com. And also, there is a Minnesotanos event that's going down. I think this is important to highlight as well. It is going down on March 6th. Ariana, correct? March 6th. Yep, March 6th at the Capitol. It's a Minnesotanos Day at the Capitol. This is a day for Minnesota Latino community to meet with our state legislators and Latino organizations to inform ourselves and maybe other people about our community's resources. Some of the topics to discuss are going to be the DACA and the Real ID. I know that there's some outreaching happening on Facebook. You can look towards that in regards to Minnesotanos Day. And if you have any questions, feel free to email your organizers for that event there.
And please, mi gente, the Capitol is intimidated, and as someone who does work during session, like campaigning, it is meant to be inaccessible for us not to be there. So part of it's literally showing up and learning some of the steps so that then we can figure out how we organize and like continue to build power in that way. There's a lot of ways to build power, not just at the Capitol, but it is important that we actually just show up
and show face. Our numbers make mountains move. You know what I'm saying? The more numbers, the more strength we have as one as a force. So we hope to see you there. March 18th, you got a month to plan for it. It's the Cat Claw at the Kitty Cat Club. It's going to be me, Lady Midnight, Mixie D, so three Latinas in the scene. We got DJ Tony Trouble and DJ Odinho, who is a white DJ, recognizes privilege, and make sure he puts an Enya in the end because he knows that this will be a Latino world one day, and he's all for it, he says. and my girl, Renee Anlier, Nay Butter Pop-Up Shop. Yes. So make sure you get stacked up with
magic.
Get your creams, get your bath salts, get everything for you, your fam. I mean, I get some for everybody, and it's all natural. So that's March 18th at the Kitty Cat Club. Hashtag meow, hashtag cat claw. We'll tell you more about that on Latina Theory's next segment. We love y'all.
Yes.
Thank you, Eliana.
Thank you, ladies, so much.
Y shout out to your sobrinita.
Mi sobrina, Carla.
Carla. Borinquen.
She's está visitando de Puerto Rico. Está ahí sentada calladita, but...
Chilling. Yeah, we also got JB, Jeremiah Bay, in the background, working very hard and dedicated on his campaign trail. We support you, brother. Thanks for being supportive to us. And we'll hear from you in the upcoming future and see how we're doing with that. Much love. Stay alive. Stay marching. And like we said, if you need help with anything, contact us, latinatheory@gmail.com. If you want to hear your song, send it to us, latinatheory@gmail.com. Tweet us. Tell us if you don't like it. Tell us if you do like it.
All
we
of
want
it.
All of you, man. We don't care, because if you're coming to hate, that's why we carry chancletas all day. Chanclas to the face. With that, we are going to go with a oldie but goodie with Hector Lavoe's Periódico de Ayer. Ariana, yeah. Love you, girl.
Love you, too.
Eliana, I love you.
Love y'all.
Show the love. Don't the hate. Peace.
Tu amor es un periódico de ayer que nadie más procura ya leer. Sensacional cuando salió en la madrugada, a mediodía ya noticia confirmada, y en la tarde materia olvidada. Tu amor es un periódico de ayer, fue titular que alcanzó página entera, por eso ya te conocen donde quiera. Tu nombre ha sido un recorte que guardé y en el álbum del olvido lo pegué. Tu amor es un periódico de ayer que nadie más procura ya leer. El comentario que nació en la madrugada y fuimos ambos la noticia propagada, y en la tarde materia olvidada. Tu amor es un periódico de ayer.
¡Lora, lora!
¿Y para qué leer un periódico de ayer?
Oye, noticia que todos saben, ya yo no quiero leer.
¿Y para qué leer un periódico de ayer?
Tú no serviste para nada, mami, y al zapacón yo te eché.
¿Y para qué leer un periódico de ayer?
Echa, camina, apártate de mi vera, apártate de mi lado.
¿Y para qué leer un periódico de ayer?
Tú eres el diario, la prensa, Radio Bemba, Radio Bemba. ¡Gracias!